This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy with Sam Wykes and Ginny Rao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, welcome to our Solomon Island listeners, and hello to everyone, and welcome to Neesh and Footy, the go-to place for all your Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and we have our final filling. I don't really like the word filling. He's our bomb squad member today, Tinura Arona's better family member. He's played for the Cook Islands in rugby league, and he's also played some union with the Highlanders, Tupo Sopoanga. Toops, welcome to the show, bro.
Oh, thanks for having us, man. I'm stepping in once again, you know, the best man off the bench. So appreciate you having me, brother.
Hey, we've been there both many times off the bench. Hey, we're good at that. So we'll be sweet for the show. You good,
mate,
to go?
my specialty. But, you know, there's a lot going on today, so I'm looking forward to it, starting with the NRL letter. It's slowly starting to take shape after another jam-packed weekend. More rugby championship action, plus we're closing in on the start of the Pacific Nations Cup, so looking forward to that. This week we got Ben and Sina Tuipulotu, who are a father-daughter combo looking to bring home the shield in the women's grand final this weekend for the Manly Mermaids.
Hey, this is going to be a great chat. First time ever having, you know, I guess a father-daughter combo, head coach, and Sina's also the captain, but there's some extra motivation in the family, because there's someone on the other team that they want to get one over. So we'll wait for that
chat. Family dynamics. Yeah.
There is in this week's grand final. So can't wait to hear and talk to them.
Moment of the week.
Yeah, let's get into our moment of the week. We're going to cross over to Samoa in the local rugby league competition over there, where the Malia Sharks won on the bill to beat Mara Saints. Crowd was going off. Beautiful backdrop in the with the ocean. Beautiful scenes, and it was electric.
Pride would be on the line 100%, especially if you're Samoan. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
You could feel it. It's that borderline bit of like, if you can't win the game, we're going to win the arguments later. But yeah. Hey, great news for the Malia Sharks. Toops, just on winning on the bill or losing on the bill. In your time playing, have you experienced that before?
Yeah, I remember when I was playing for the Cronulla Sharks, I think it was 26-0 against the Roosters in 2014. So 10 years ago, actually, we played against Sunnybill. Never forget that, but we actually won on the bell. So I'll never forget that memory.
Did you play with your cousin that game? T playing that game?
I did.
Well?
I think carried him once again. Once again. This is what I do, man.
Well, yes.
Yeah, so I'll never forget that. I mean, obviously T played, but you never forget the ones that you just went on the buzzer. But what about you? Have you won or lost on the buzzer in your time?
Yeah, plenty of times. I remember the ones we won on the buzzer because I didn't win that many. So remember this one vividly. It was against the Stormers when I was playing for the Sunwolves. It was Hayden Parker. Do you remember Hayden Parker from the Highlanders? He was our 5-8 for the Sunwolves. Sat in the pocket, field goal straight over to beat the Stormers. Our first win for the Sunwolves, so that was my moment.
Was it the first and only win, or was it?
No, I got three, I think, in that for the Sunwolves. That was about it. So yeah, special moment. So great stuff over there in Samoa. Hopefully, Maris come back next year and try and earn the win.
Hi, I'm Mona Lisa Soliola, and you're listening to Neesh and Footy.
Yeah, let's get straight over to NRL news. Let's get into that part of the season where finals footy is up for grabs, and there's plenty of spots still available with only a short amount of rounds to go.
Yeah, lots going on in the NRL at the moment, but I picked two specific games that I thought were quite significant, starting with the Cowboys taking on the Raiders. An absolute demolition by the Cowboys, 42-4. I don't think Ricky Stewart would have been too happy with that, knowing the blowouts that he's had over his time.
He's not happy when they win, so I can't imagine on a loss like that what his emotions would have been.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you're quite emotional, I can guarantee, you know, it's something that you probably think about throughout the week. So unfortunately for the Raiders, I don't think that's going to contribute to them making the eight in the end. But with Cowboys getting that win, I think they're locked in for the finals because they've got a bye coming up. So awesome game to watch. But also, you know, following up a Cook Islander himself, yeah, he scored three tries in the weekend. I thought the moment that stood out for me was his third try that he nailed out in the second half. How good.
12 metres out from the Canberra line. Last tackle, North Queensland. Valea dummy half. Goes left to Dearden. Puts in the crossfield kick. It's a dink kick. taken by Val Holmes. He's got three. Three tries to Val. Perfect kick by Dearden. This is like Manu setting up Young last night. It's Dearden for Val. North Queensland 34. Canberra 4. 8 gone second half. Oh, the Cowboys are on fire.
Well done to Cowboys getting it 42-4 demolition. Also to Valentine Holmes, who just recently signed to the Dragons in the weekend. Hopefully he plays for the Cook Islands at the end of the year.
Hopefully. Hopefully they get him and Josh Papali'i.
And hopefully Joseph Manu.
Oh, Joseph Manu. Oh, he'll be heading over to Japan. So their preseason starts September. So he might go straight after the grand final. So he might miss out on that Cook Island jersey because he'll be over there. With Toyota for Blitz.
Yeah, well, stay close to the Cook Island team. You never know, I might put on the jersey again. I'll come off the bench.
We know how that went last time when you didn't get selected, but we'll leave that there.
Yeah, you're not wrong. The other game I thought I'd picked it last night or over the weekend was the Sharks taking on the Knights. They won a nail biter in overtime, 19-18. So that was an awesome game to watch. I mean, when it came to the Sharks, they came out the gates. You know, they blitzed them. They were up 10-0, and then the Knights came back and scored 18 unanswered points, which was quite surprising, given the fact that, you know, they didn't look like they were in at all. But, you know, rallying the troops, and then they managed to come back. But however, in the back end, we managed to see a couple of good tries and a field goal by the Sharks. But one moment that stood out to me was on the 77th minute by Ronaldo Mulitalo, who scored in the corner.
Newcastle 18, Cronulla Sutherland 12, but the Sharks need the try here in these dying minutes. Kennedy, low ball here. It's come from Talakot and Mulitalo, who spins out of the sharp tackle. Does he get the footy down? There's a grounding of some description. Very, very late there for Mulitalo. Yes, says referee Jared Sutton. There's a couple of tumbles in that sharp tackle, but the returning winger, Ronaldo Mulitalo, has scored the try, which could potentially level things up here.
So well done to Mulitalo and the Cronulla Sharks, beating the Knights 19-18 in overtime. Sammy, in terms of the ladder, lots going on. We'll start with the Bulldogs. They're all but locked into the finals, first time since 2016.
That's crazy. I'm a massive Dogs supporter. Like, it is buzzing in Belmore, the streets of Bankstown. Everyone's wearing their jersey, waving the flags. The stickers are out on the cars. So it is huge for the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. And just the way they're playing, you talked about the reason why they're in the finals for the first time since 2016. Their defense has been unreal.
Yeah,
key players have stood up. We saw Kikau just on the edge there, his first run of the game. You know, just line break, try assist. And then also we saw this is something different though, the Fox. We know he's fast. Yeah. But I just wanted to highlight, how quick is the hammer?
Oh, I think there's a Sam Woodside.
Yeah, it must be the Sam. No.
But he's so fast. I think I saw him hit 40 kilometres per hour, which is pretty crazy. So
crazy, not too far behind Usain Bolt, they reckon. But yeah, the Dogs, outstanding work, their defensive efforts, and hopefully they can march deep into the finals footy, because it will go off.
Yeah, they're either going to finish either fifth or fourth. So good luck to the Canterbury Bulldogs. In terms of the Storm, Panthers, Roosters and the Sharks, they're all but finals bound too, which is cool. Cowboys, as I mentioned before, they have a bye, so they're almost definitely making it, meaning the last two spots come down to Manly, the Dragons, Dolphins and potentially the Broncos. So out of those teams,
the Broncos still a
chance.
Yeah,
yep.
No they way. Are. They can't be.
Slime chance.
Slime? What's a slime chance?
Slime. You know,
I don't know how they do it in the. I don't know how they do it in the Cook Islands, but I'm pretty sure it's definitely not a slime chance. Well, slim.
You never know with those slimy people up in Brisbane, you know. Nah, jokes. But they got a slim chance of making it. So out of the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Dragons, who do you think is going to come through?
Oh, I've got to be biased here. I've got to go the Dolphins just because my cousin's there. I think I'd love to see them play finals footy.
Who's your cousin?
I've name dropped him a few times. Well, he mustn't be because he doesn't
reply
to come on the show. But Isaiah Katoa, so hopefully.
He's a Wellington kid.
He's a Wellington boy, just lower hut, upper hut. One of the huts anyway, over there in Wellington.
Mate, I think if you're Tongan, you know, everybody's a cousin. But on another note, remember you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. Just quickly, in terms of New South Wales jersey flag, the Kaiviti Silk Tails got, unfortunately, they got a beat down yesterday. I was at the game, 62-2. Now, unfortunately, that's 22 losses on the trot. So it is pretty hard, Sam, to see results-wise, but I did watch them live, and I honestly think there's a lot of potential there.
There's always potential when you come Fijians and footy. There's always potential. 100%. Raw talent. Just on the game, seeing the scoreline 62-2, at what point did they take the penalty goal? Was it early in the game, or was it 60-0?
It was right at the end. It was literally
It was
right at the end. I was literally at the game. They should have just tapped it, but you know, the young Fijian, he said, "No, I can't walk away with naught." So, you know, the thing is, the crowd was all applauding him too.
Oh, as if they wouldn't. It's a bold move.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but I'm glad he did, because he probably just wanted to practice his goal kicking. You know, yeah. He hasn't had the chance this year, so he may as well.
Just on the back of that, Sammy, when I watched them live, it was actually really exciting to see. I know the scoreboard, it spoke for itself, but I honestly think a lot of those, especially the outside backs, they should just play union. They'd be suited towards that. They're tall, they're big, they're strong, and they're super rangy. That's like your typical, you know, modern-day outside back for rugby union. I mean, if I was a French rugby team, or if I was a, you know, Japanese team, you know, I would be probably looking at that jersey flag team and seeing the potential that they could, you know, pick up for their future.
Yeah, on that as well, I know rugby union is just a natural option for the Fijians over there, being their number one sport. But for the Silk Tails, yes, the results are disheartening, and you always want to compete and be, but there's a bigger picture at play for the Silk Tails. There's even though they're losing by that much, I guarantee there's scouts or there's coaches are looking at these players purely for their athleticism, what they can contribute. Because I understand they might not have the rugby league IQ or those little nuances that you need, but they know that you can't coach like that type of speed, that type of physique.
Natural talent.
So I guarantee there'll be a future Micah Civil or a Semi Radrada or something like that in that Silk Tails team that will come through and flourish, and they go, that's what they hang their hat on. That's 100%. Why the Silk Tails are in the competition.
Yeah, and just on the back of that, I think teams won't be looking at them to, you know, recruit a team. They're looking at their team to recruit individual players.
Yep.
And then they can mold them. They'll make them better players. So a lot of potential there, whether it be rugby union, but definitely we know that coming out of those unfortunate losses, a lot of those kids will probably move on to bigger, better things, onto other teams as well. So onwards and upwards for the Silk Tails. Lastly, Sammy, Q Cup, PNG Hunters, they beat the Brisbane Tigers 46-24 in Port Moresby in their home city, hometown. They play the Western Clydesdale in the final round of the season, could finish top four if they win and the results go their way.
Beautiful. Paul Aiton's doing some good things with the Hunters. We interviewed him on that Pacific Sports show. I just got this feeling he's got a real hard edge to him. The way he was speaking, he just seemed like he knew that he could have fun, but at the same time, he just had this thing about him where, hey, if we need to flick the switch, I'm going to flick it hardy and make sure.
He's got a lot of authority.
He does. So hopefully they can finish fourth if they do get another win.
If they get the win, top four, get a life. Perfect. What's up next, Sammy?
We got rugby union. Hey, let's get straight over to it. Good stuff, Toops. You filled in pretty well there. We've had some big shoes to fill. We had Will Hopewhite. We've also had your cousin. So I think you're right in the mixer, mate. Not bad.
Mate, off the bench, you don't need to be the star.
No, you just need to do your job.
That's it.
Do it well. Yes, let's head over to rugby union. And we're going to kick off with the rugby championships after their 33-7 loss to the Springboks in Brisbane last week. The Wallabies had another chance to take on the world champs. The defending world champs in Perth and improve, you know, their previous performance, but they end up going down 30-12. A couple of big questions. One, did you know there was no Tongans in the team?
Really?
Nah, no one was there. Like in that team that played, no Tongans.
Oh mate.
So I feel like that's my stat there. Why they lost? No Tongans. When Daniela Tupou comes back.
Maybe the scrum might get better.
Yeah, it will. It was a big part of why they lost that platform. But bring some more Tongans in, will be sweet. But the other one is, everyone's asking, have the Wallabies improved? Have they actually improved from that week before?
I don't know if that's the question we should be asking, because you can't, I guess, get the answer off two games, don't you think?
Well, it is. Well, to be honest, it's not a clear-cut answer if they have or not. I feel like there's yes and no sort of answers for that. Their performances, they had the three games, you know, two against Wales and Georgia. Do you read too much into that? It was good to get the wins, but coming up against the best in the world, they were tested. And the reason why I also say yes and no, and it probably is hard to answer it correctly, because the Springboks made 10 changes to their side. On the bench, they had world-class experience, over 400 caps. The conditions, very wet, slippery. So the rain was just hissing down. There was very little flow to the attack, and that was for both teams.
Mm.
And you saw the scoreline was actually tight at halftime. If Noah Lolasile, Samoan Noah Lolasile, you know, kicks that penalty goal at the end, the Wallabies actually are in front at halftime.
Yeah. My question was, do you think they got the forward pack to last the distance with a top side like the Springboks? Wet conditions, you have to play a 10-man game. Your eight forwards got to step up. I mean, where do we find the next caliber of players to come through? Because that was essentially their B team, the Springboks B team, right?
I don't think there is a B team in South Africa at the moment. They're all massive. But you're right, it's their forward pack at the moment. When you look at the size of the forwards compared to our forwards, we're getting bullied. And yes, it's not through a lack of trying. Like, they're competing, they're doing everything they can to be physical. But if we look at some of the stats, you know, winning gain line is pivotal. If you don't win the gain line, you don't win the ruck speed, and you can't get any flow and get our outside backs or our midfield like Hunter Paisami and Lenny Kitau into the game. So Rob Valentini, probably our best ball carrier, he had 4 runs for 3 metres in that whole game.
Is that an issue of getting more out of him, or is just the fact that...
I think it was just the nature of the game. It's not like, it was wet. So like they didn't really get past those 4 or 5 phases because he probably plays in a system out on the edge.
Yeah.
But it's up to him. We need to find a way. How do we get him more involved? If your set piece is going backwards, you know, especially at line out time, it's messy. He doesn't get those carries off the line out. But he's a massive player that you can build momentum off through his ball carries because he creates that ruck speed. But when he's only getting 3 metres and 4 carries, it's just not what the Wallabies need. Find a way to get him more involved.
Yeah.
I thought, again, this is probably the improvement bit that I thought they did really well in. Their analysis during the week of playing down the short side, it was bang on. It was absolutely spot on, because when you watch it in the replay, you just saw that sometimes South Africa's last defender was on the 15-metre channel and there was plenty of space and the shape was there. But when the ball, when they went back to that short side, it went to Lukan.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't play at the back the first time because it's wet, so he's conservative. So they lose that opportunity because then South Africa end up getting their fold right. Then the second time they do it, it must have been pre-planned. He plays a loop ball at the back, but Hunter Paisami gets smoked. If he just had it looked up, it was hold your feet, play to Rob Valentini, Marika's free on the left side as well. So the analysis is there. I think they're creating the opportunities, physicality, and probably just that rugby IQ moment to be able to execute in those scenarios.
Yeah, I think the game plan was definitely there. It's just, how do you coach the team to be physical, more physical against a physically dominated team?
And if we move over to the All Blacks game against Argentina, the All Blacks, the one thing they don't do is lose 2 games in a row. And it's clear that they don't lose at Eden Park.
Yeah.
50 games in a row, winning streak. 50 wins on the trot at Eden Park in Auckland. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And then finally, I've been saying it for the last probably month now, I've been looking forward to the countdown of the Pacific Nations Cup. Kicks off this Friday, the 23rd of August. We'll see Fiji take on Samoa in Fiji. Tonga will play their first test match the following week against Samoa over in Samoa at Apia Park on Friday the 30th. So plenty of good footy in the Pacific to look forward to. And some other news as well out of the Pacific Nations Cup. Not for this year, but for next year.
Yeah.
They've explained the qualification process for the expanded 2027 Rugby World Cup, which will be held in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be 24 teams at this World Cup. From the Pacific Nations Cup, 3 teams will qualify. With Japan and Fiji already qualified, it will mean Tonga and Samoa will just have to make sure they finish ahead of either the USA or Canada to make the World Cup. And they really have to nail their preparation and get that sorted now, not wait till 6 weeks out from the Pacific Nations Cup to figure it out. Just on that as well. Sorry, just scrolling down now. There is a slime chance. Slime?
Slime or slim? It's a slime chance.
It's a slime chance.
Up in Brisbane.
Up in Brisbane. But now there is a slim chance if one of those teams do finish last, then they'll play in another repechage pool game with the South Americans.
Yeah.
But then again, this is the opportunity. This is where they need to make sure they cement their stop. Don't leave it to, you know, up to chance and trying to travel around.
You don't want to be going down the gauntlet. You just get it
exactly,
done.
Exactly, get it done.
And move on.
But that's all we have time for Rugby Union. We're going to head over to Shelley Long with the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
And moving over to NRLW News, PNG Orchid and North Queensland Cowboys superstar. Hey, Shelley Long, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, as you can tell, my friend, it's his first day doing the intro. He'll get there. He'll take over his cousin's seat soon.
Wow, far out. I've got a lot of pressure here. I better come in hot. And I was like, oh, that's a bit too hot.
She's a superstar. But yeah. Shelley, we are going to go straight to that epic, epic Golden Point win in Townsville against the Titans. Like, how good was that? And was that the first time the girls have won in Townsville?
So, second time we've won. Last year, we never won a home game, but then the first home game we played this year, we actually got the win against the Dragons. So, we'll take the two home game wins so far this season. But it was honestly such a tough game to watch. I was named 18th man, so I had to sit on the bench. And I can tell you now, the stress was real. Like, the pressure as being 18th man, trying to pump my team up, but then watch the game. Oh, it was crazy.
Well, that's awesome to hear. I mean, for the girls, do you think it was more of a relieved feeling or more of a, you know, super excited? At least we got the Golden Point win.
Oh, I think super excited. I think they have to be very proud of their efforts, especially even the Titans. They played a very tough game. We knew it was going to be hard. They, the week before, they had a shocking loss to the Broncos, which they bounced back from, and they put the pressure on us to perform. And I think as well, it goes to show the talent of the women's NRLW just getting better as the years go on.
When you compare last season to this season, what are some of the noticeable positives that have come from the way you've prepared and played?
Oh, I think every team in their first year was teething, and they've learned a lot about what worked for them and what didn't work for them. Recovery, medical reviews, managing players, that has gotten so much better after last year. And just, I think as well, just that game knowledge, that game awareness, and that ability to play really tough football. Like, you know, last season we had a lot of really high scoring games, and this season they're very close. You've got a field goal to win the game on the weekend. So I think that goes to show how much the game's progressed.
Yeah, you definitely always learn the second year from the mistakes or maybe some of the things that you need to get better at. So it's good to see that you girls, I guess, moving in the right direction. Just for yourself there, Shelley, you mentioned 18th man. I guess for you, you know, how are you coping with not playing at the moment?
Oh, you know what? I'm actually going really good. I had a meeting with my coach, and he was like, "How are you, Shel?" And I was like, "You know what? I'm actually really good. Like, I'm enjoying just still training. Like, I'm getting paid to get fit at the moment." Yeah. That's what I'm telling myself. I'll keep telling myself that until I play. But, you know, I love being in that team environment, and I have a really good club that supports me. So I'm extremely grateful for that. And in the back of my head as well, I am planning for a triathlon later in the year. Yeah.
Okay.
I've come up with some new ideas to keep me motivated.
I love that, Shelley. Your personality is infectious. We need
it's
more
so positive, eh?
Yeah, no, you need that. You need that. And it's good that the coach is still, you know, having conversations with you, because in past experiences, when I haven't played, there's a reason for it, and they don't talk to you. There's silence. So you just you're already on the phone to your manager, get me out of here. But those conversations, what has he said though to be able to you know, from technical and tactical, about what it's going to take for you to get into that starting team or the starting 17?
I think it's just because I play multiple positions, I can play both sides. It's just about being able to nail all of those things. So I guess as a utility, it sucks in the sense I don't have one set role and one set side, but, you know, I'm there if anything happens. So I'll take that. And he just said, you know, when you get that opportunity, run with it. And I think I'm ready to keep to run with that opportunity. But when the time comes, I'll be ready.
And with a positive attitude like that, I can probably guarantee you, and Sam will probably speak off the back
of it. It's going to bounce your way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And just thinking about that, do you think that this has probably been the biggest challenge so far in terms of dealing with not playing?
I actually think back in 2022 when I was at the Dragons, I didn't play a single game. And I think that was probably harder because it was the first time I came into an NRLW squad. I had been in that pathway and I was expecting to play, but my mindset probably wasn't the best. So I learned from that and now I feel like I'm definitely in a stronger and better position than where I was in 2022.
Everyone listening to that right now, take note, because that's what it takes to have a long-lasting career, is that type of attitude. So outstanding. Yeah, moving over to the Cowboys playing the Raiders this week. Apparently, this is the longest road trip in the NRLW. What does a week look like when you have to factor in the travel?
So we'll pretty much keep our same week, but it does mean, obviously, that extra bit of travel with Townsville being so far north and Canberra being, you know, down south, inland a little bit. We have to then go Townsville to Brisbane, Brisbane to Canberra. That's two flights. But we're ready for it. We know that when you live up here, you have to travel a lot. We travelled quite a bit last year and as well in our Queensland competition. So the girls are ready for it. The girls know that it has to happen no matter what. And we're just excited to get into Canberra and, you know, play a really good game of footy.
Speaking of this NRLW competition, I guess when you look at the first two games, you probably thought there were some clear leaders with the Knights and those type of teams and even the Titans. Now, four games in, it looks like it's a bit of change happening, especially for the Sharkies. Has any of the games surprised you?
Oh, I definitely think we're talking about the Sharks. Their win against the Newcastle Knights on Sunday was incredible, 14 points to 12. They took the win away. Knights have a lot of work to do, I think, just in that sense of they've had a few injuries, quite a few players out, quite a few head knocks within their games. Last week they had two head knocks. This week they've had a couple of others, which has made a lot of positional changes. And I think, you know, they're talking about bringing in some young girls, which would be great for them, and I'm excited for them. But I think just that their ability to, when something goes wrong, play players outside of their positions that they normally play. That's the challenge for the Knights at the moment, I think. But Sharks are looking incredible, that's for sure. And I definitely think they and as well as the Parramatta Eels will be two of the top teams in the competition.
Yeah, Shelley, just in terms of Nation players, just from any other game in general, any other Nation players stood out to you from your perspective?
Yes, there was a young player, Brooke Talataina. She plays for the Tigers. She normally plays 5'8", but she was named as back row to replace Apps after she sustained a knee injury in round three. The youngster showed how valuable she is to the Tigers, her strength to dominate tackles, which saw a lot of those tough proppies from Parramatta Eels go flying, was incredible to watch. And her ability to ball play on the edge gave Tigers a little bit extra strike power. So she's someone who will definitely be in the game for a long time with her ability to play multiple roles.
So when you look at the Eels and the Tigers, I know the Tigers haven't got off to the start they're looking for. With that 12-10 victory, I mean, only losing 12-10 against the Eels, where you said it's pretty like in form, is there hope there for the Tigers to be able to, you know, snag some wins towards the middle and back end of the season?
Oh, definitely. We saw it last year when the Eels, you know, they weren't in the best form at the beginning of the season, and then towards the back end, they started getting a few wins under their belt. So I think Tigers can take a lot of positivity out of the fact that, yes, they're not going well right now, but I think after that close win by Eels against them, that they can take a lot of positivity away and bounce back the next week.
Yeah, it seems like it's quite those last two or four teams that you mentioned, very tight contest. And then the other games, you had Broncos, Raiders, quite a high high point scoring games. And then you had Roosters, Dragons, 28-8 high scoring games as well from the Roosters. What do you think the points differences come down to?
Oh, I just think the type of condition, weather conditions. You know, when you here in North Queensland, the game was very hot, so you're not really expecting too many points to be scored. But as well, defense is pretty much what every team needs to focus on to win games ultimately. And I think, you know, Raiders showed last week that they can defend their try line back to back to back. And that was something that the Tigers did quite well last night and Parramatta Eels. So I think, you know, although there is a little bit of a high scoring game, they're still able to keep defending their try line when it matters the most.
Defense always wins games. I think the Knights, if they can get back to their defensive efforts that they showed in the first two rounds, they can make another run. But yeah, crossing over to rugby union.
So after some much-deserved time off after the Olympics, Australia and Fiji Sevens teams will hit the deck running in Dubai in November. So following Dubai, teams will travel to Cape Town in December, Perth in January, Vancouver in February.
We're on fire today with our English. It's contagious, I tell you. Stop it. Sorry to interrupt. Go again, Shelley.
All right. So following Dubai, teams will travel to Cape Town in December, Perth in January, and Vancouver in February, along with Hong Kong in March. So far, five of the games have been announced, and that's super exciting for rugby union fans. But in the meantime, I'm sure union fans will be happy to watch the Wallaroos compete in the WXV2 in South Africa, which takes place at the end of next month. So that's super exciting for the girls. And they need to win that in order to qualify for the World Cup. So there is a little bit of pressure on them. However, they went into camp last week, focused on the fundamentals of rugby union, and they looked really strong and fit. So I'm excited to see how they go.
Well, so we've got some big games coming up for the Wallaroos in the next months, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, there is a lot happening there. So another Wallaroos squad will go and play against Samoa, the Wallaroos A team. And then the other one will go to South Africa and play over there. So some exciting news ahead for the Wallaroos girls. Hey, I'll have some big news on the signing front. You know how we like to leak a couple of...
League jumpers.
There's a change of personnel in one of the ladies' teams that will be heading somewhere else. So
must be big.
Watch this space. Ooh. And I'll keep you all up to date. I'll feed it to you first so you can break it. All right, Shelley, on...
All right. I'm excited.
All right, beautiful. No worries, Shelley. Always appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Good luck this week, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Patrick Pellegrini, Sammy's favourite cousin from Galitahi. You're listening to Nation Footy.
Well, Toops, this weekend in the Sydney Women's Premier Rugby competition, we have the Manly Mermaids playing against Sydney Uni, the students, in the grand final. And in a very first Venetian footy, we have Benny Tuipulotu, head coach of the Manly Mermaids, and his daughter Sina, who is the captain of the Mermaids. Sina's also represented Tonga and made her Super W debut for the Waratahs at the bright age of 17 years of age. Welcome to Venetian Footy, both of you. Really appreciate your time.
No, thank you. Welcome.
Thanks.
A first one here. This is a big one. Obviously, playing against Sydney Uni, any other game, even besides the grand final, is massive. Anyone but Uni is always the same. But this weekend in the big dance, there's a bit of extra motivation. Can you explain to our audience why this is such a big game and to get over someone that you want to?
It's a big main event for especially myself, coming up against my twin brother, Teki, who we both coached at Uni last year. We fell short in the grand final against East. But this year I've decided to change venues. I've gone over to the harbour, to the Northern Beaches, and established Manly 15s for the first time in 30 years. And to do that the first year to reach the grand final and to play against Sydney Uni, against my brother, is so sweet.
Yeah, I bet nothing better than trying to get one over your brother, especially being the twin. Just thinking in the background there, Benny, Do you think that there's, or sorry, have you had any external conversations around, you know, having a bit of banter leading up to it?
Of course, there's going to be always banter. You know, Turkey first threw the shot a couple of weeks back and said, he's got to make the semi-final, you've got to make the grand final first. And I said to him, don't worry about that. We will, when we get there, we'll unleash. You know, it's to me, I've got an upper hand. Turkey's got Wallaroos, got New South Wales Waratahs, but I've got all the Islanders.
Well, we're definitely going to touch on that. Obviously, Sydney Uni's like breeding ground for a lot of the Wallaroos, and that's why they've probably been like pretty dominant. Whereas the Manly Eels, there's some Tongan internationals. Sina, yourself, you've represented Tonga. Now you're the captain of the Mermaids team. What's it like having your old man as a coach? You being a leader, do you get much of a say? Are you happy to lead a group of Islander girls as well in this team?
To be fair, at the start, I was pretty. He asked me to be captain. I said, "Nah, give it to someone else because I'm still like 20. There's some girls there older than me and stuff." But yeah, as the season's gone by, I've learned off him a lot. Learned off the older girls too, and yeah, we're just like one big family. We just help each other out, so it's pretty good.
Oh man, that's so cool to hear. I was just thinking, Sina, what's harder to lead? Is it your sisters or the older woman in your team?
Probably my sisters because they don't like to listen sometimes.
What's some of the things that they don't listen to you about?
Oh, when I say a play's on the short side and they think they know better and then they go the other way.
Well, just on that, so how many siblings are actually playing for Manly? And Benny, how many kids do you actually have? Because I've already lost count. but how many actually playing for Manly in this grand final?
I've got four girls playing in the grand final. I've got two boys who are playing in the grade semi-final. And I've got two girls in the under-16s for Manly's. Plus I've got two girls who haven't yet found their feet, whether they're going to play rugby or continue with their mum's side. So I've got 10 all up. Two boys and eight girls. And to the same woman too.
Wow.
Hey, you didn't need to bring that in. We backed you. We backed you, mate.
Benny, I had a question. Obviously, you got 10 kids to the same woman, as you mentioned. But do you have favourites?
No, I don't have favourites.
Well, Sina's giving you the look.
Well, Sina's captain, so she's obviously the favourite.
Well, I've got to admit, when she was young, she's named after my mother. So just a quick story. My wife had enough of her. She sent her to the room. I was in the room. She closed the door and said, deal with your daughter. And my wife's behind the door thinking that I'm going to give her a hiding. I said to my daughter, because you're named after mum, there's chocolates under the bed. Take it. My wife opens the door and goes, what the heck's this? I said, can't help it. She's named after my mum. And she goes to me, Dad, don't hit me. I'm your mother, remember?
Man, that's unreal. So let's talk about that family dynamic from the footy field at training, playing, but also does it ever get brought home? The long car ride home, especially because you're living still out west and you're traveling to Manly, is there silence in the car or does footy just get left at footy?
Nah, we bring it home, take it to church sometimes, take it to school. Yeah, just everywhere we just talk about footy.
do you pray about the wins when you go to church there?
Definitely. Pray before, after, everywhere.
It's a big part of who we are at Manly. Whether we're Aussies, all the girls at Manly, so we pray before we train. I don't put that pressure on any girls in doing that. It's up to them. But all the white girls and all the girls that don't think about praying, they've bought into it. They want to belong to that culture. And it's about our faith the Islanders have. We believe in something. And I've turned around and said to the white girls and the Aussie girls and some of the girls who don't believe it, and just say, you got to have something. You got to have belief in something. And this is what we Islanders believe in. And we pray before we train. We pray after we train. Same thing with the game. So, you know, all the glory goes back to the God who gives you the talent. And that's what we're all about at Manly. And that's why we are so tight-knit.
Yeah, faith's obviously a massive part of Tongan culture. You have about, 13 Tongans in the starting 23? Yep, that's right. So how else do you bring like our culture towards, you know, a rugby environment? Is there pigs on the spit? Is there food? What else are you bringing to that environment to just help connect the players and buy into the season?
Yeah, cultural night, and that played a big part of our club scene. We also brought in the feeding the homeless. So we had two feeders feeding the homeless at Blacktown as a group, as a team, as a mermaid. So it got also the girls who live on the North Shore to come out and see, you know, we don't take life for granted. There's people worse off than what we are, and we to give back. And when they saw that, they just said, oh. And, you know, by giving back, they don't actually think that they're doing something good, but it is good, you know. And that's what we bring as Islanders. We bring that connection and the culture, the family and the faith to it.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear and awesome to see. I was just thinking about the game there, Sina, you know, coming up. How do you treat this game in terms of your leadership? Do you change your approach because it's the final, or does it just stay the same?
I think this week I reckon just stay the same. Like, we've been going good so far throughout the season. We've just been trusting each other, and it's just all about attitude and our mindset as well. Like, we've grown so much as a group. So coming into this last game, I think just keep the same mindset, same attitude, stay positive and keep the NO up.
Yeah, the NO. That's what the kids call energy for,
for us 2+-year-olds over here, you know.
It, just on that leadership, you've played for Tonga, as mentioned. You've been in, you know, Super W environments. What have you learnt from those type of professional environments and something that you've brought from there into your Mermaids team to help you prepare not only yourself but the team as well?
Oh, probably like game day preparation is a big one, because we have heaps of Islanders in our team and a lot of them run on island time sometimes.
What's the worst island time we're talking about here? We're talking about maybe 10 minutes or?
Nah, not even. Coach says to be there 8, warm-ups start to 8:30. We have a girl sitting in the change room eating a meat pie 5 minutes before we go warm-up.
I don't even know where to start with that. Like, the pre-match meal was wrong. Everything about that's wrong, but yeah.
But she's there.
But she's there. That's the main thing. There. But yeah, continue on just around that leadership, what you brought back with those professional environments. It actually helped teaching some of our Polynesian girls.
Yeah, just preparation. Probably a big one is just keeping the chat up, and also just believing in ourselves. Like, we're down and out most of the time over at Waratahs, and then having the leaders there just supporting us and like letting us know that everything's going to be all right. That's probably a main thing that I've brought over to Manly, only because we have a lot of haters.
Benny, just on your coaching, I know you and your brother are going up against each other this year, but when we look across the board, there's not too many of our Pacifica coaches out there, and yourself and Sateki have been in that space, especially in the women's space, for a long time now. Do you have further aspirations to coach at higher levels?
Yes, I do. I got invited to look at the training camp for the Wallaroos by Chris DeLuce, who's a Manly first grade, and it helps. He's the assistant for the Wallaroos. And he showed me a different side of things, of where I need to get to and what I need to achieve if I want that goal. And I do want to coach a Super W side, but, you know, I like to coach a Super W side which belongs to the Pacifica. You know, that I can relate to our kids, what they go through. Sometimes it's not all there. How can we help? You know, what can we do in place to get these girls up and going again? Sometimes it's hard in family environment when our Islander parents expect too much of our kids. But at the same time, instead of supporting them, we're pushing them, and, you know, to make those wrong decisions. So as a father with 10 kids, I've grown to know some of the weaknesses, some of the strength, you know, and how can I contribute to that, to our Islander nations, Islander kids, even the Balangi kids, you know. Sometimes they're down and out. How do I pick them up? You know, what do I do as a coach? And I've learned that through Chris DeLuce. I've learned that through Techie at Sydney University. And, you know, and I've gone away and did my own thing. I'm running my own lane and doing things I want to do, but also helping them develop. Most important thing is developing. Developing their behavior off the field and contribute to what they do on the field.
Well, you definitely had a lot of practice having 10 kids. I mean, practice parenting, not the anyway. Sina, what about for yourself? You know, from the grand final, what aspirations do you have? You've played for Tonga, you've played in the Super W, but haven't been in that environment for a little bit now with Pinina Pacifica coming in as well. Do you have some goals that you want to tick off?
Yeah, probably I would like to try and get back into a Super W team, probably play higher level other than club football.
So you've played for Tonga. What was that experience like, you know, putting on that red jersey and representing your family, but also doing it alongside your sister?
It was unreal, actually. Flying up to Gold Coast, seeing my sister there. Yeah, it felt good to just showcase the talent we have from the Pacific Nations, like, and just like going out there with pride, wearing the red and white jersey too, alongside other Tongan sisters. Yeah, I've learned a lot from them as well. Also, some coming in from Tonga, just the way they grew up and stuff. Like, we've learned so much from them, and then they've learned so much from us. And then we're just, yeah, the bond there is good.
Benny, just moving to this week's grand final, with the Wallaroo squads being announced, what are we expecting? A lot of changes in these teams because players might be away on camp duties, or do you get those players back?
So for the grand final, all the Wallaroos are on deck. All right. So for us, we've only got twos in the Australian A at the moment. So that's Tiara Minns and Wayari Ellis, the youngest Waratah ever. So they're in now for the Mermaids. Well, Sydney Uni's got about seven of the Wallaroos and a couple of those other girls in the Australian A's are probably three or four. So their team is pretty stacked. You know, throughout the year, we set ourselves goals and no one ever thought that would reach it. For a team of Pacific Islanders and also a couple of Australians, we've beaten the Australian A in sevens. Manly Mermaids beat Gordon side, which was stacked of Australian side A's, sevens and two current players. So we beat them, and that was a tick for us. When we came and played against Eastern Suburbs, we had all the Wallaroos a couple months back, we beat them. We beat Newcastle on the weekend, who had three Wallaroos. They had Ash Masters, Lane Morgan. We're doing fine. So coming up against Sydney Uni on the weekend, full of talent, full of resources, full of Wallaroos, we got nothing to lose.
Mm.
We got nothing to lose. We got everything to gain. I think my brother has more to lose. He's already lost his hair, so
being a twin brother, surely you've lost your hair too. but you're right, they are full of a lot of things, Sydney Uni. And on that as well, we've seen the Moleka sisters. Is Faitala playing for Uni?
Faitala's, because she's at Brumbies and she's a university in the Brumbies, she plays down in Canberra now.
Oh, yep. Okay. So then you've got the sister playing for you guys? Okay, there we go. I thought they were going to come up against each other. That would have been a great matchup.
Well, it would have been great, but I don't think the Faitala would want to do that. She'd rather play with her sister than against. So we're fortunate to have Manua. We're fortunate to have Baba Ellis also, so it's great.
Nice, nice. So this weekend coming, what will be your final words, you know, that you want to express to your team before heading out there, knowing full well they're coming up against a lot of your so-called talent or experience that have had higher honours compared to your team? What are you going to be saying to them?
Well, everything with respect to our faith. I said to my daughters, I said, the first thing I'll be saying is Manly Mermaids is David and Sydney Uni is Goliath, you know.
I like
David, David said to Goliath, you come with spears and swords and we come in the name of Jesus. So we send to Uni, you come with all your Wallaroos. Who cares? We come with the might of the Pacific. That's who we are.
That's it. What a word. That's it. Oh, Benny, you're made for coaching, mate. We really appreciate both your time coming on here on Nesian Footy. We wish you all the best. But make sure after the game, no matter who wins or loses, make sure you know you bring each other in, you umma each other, ready to go, because I need you firing for when we come and do our New South Wales Tonga coaching.
That's 100%. Sammy, just a quick one on that. For the NTSA, so New South Wales Tongan Association. So we do have a seniors, men's, women's and Colts continue from Sammy and Kona's good work. So we've continued the pathway as seniors. And our coaching staff for the senior men's is Mark Gerard, Phil Blake, Sam Dalbiafe, Daniel Manu and Cambo. All right. For the women's, you've got myself, Billy Nakuta and Holani Pohiva. And for the Colts, we have Dan Falefa and Finau Makamaka. So there you go. So continue from Sammy's good work and Kona's good work.
Oh, thanks, bro. I'll pay you later for saying that shout out and referencing myself.
Your labor there, yeah. Sammy. You're doing some
outstanding work. Good luck this week. I'll be out there to watch. Hopefully the Mermaids get the win.
Thank you, Sammy.
Nisian knowledge.
Yes, it's that time of the show where we get to Nisian knowledge and it's my turn to ask the questions.
Did see that the loser this year gets a Nisian footy tatty on their bum.
Yeah, so you're part of that. Whoever loses, that they'll fill in for, so you're filling in for T. Like, they're part of it, so you've got to get a picture of me on your...
Well, I just better make sure I get this. This knowledgeable guy.
Well, I'm in front. 13 plays 10 and a half. So if you get all three right today, you could take the lead. And it's very doable today. I'm telling you right now, you should be able to get these. You ready to go?
All right.
All right, let's rip in.
Multiple choice?
I've got a couple in there.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. As I said, I'm going to give you a chance. Samai Matalfa. She's been killing it for the Raiders for a long time, especially this year in the NRLW space. What does Simaima translate to in English?
Kindness.
Kindness.
Talk to me.
No, wait, like I'm thinking, if I'm thinking Simaima, I'm thinking Jemima.
But kindness.
What does it translate to in English?
Yeah, but islanders have meanings when it comes to their names.
Yeah, I know, but this meaning is actually an English name. So Simaima is Jemima. So...
Oh.
There you go. Bang, you're out. So well, Jemima is not kindness for sure on the footy field. But anyway, between the Wallabies and the All Blacks, what was the combined total of Nisian stars that played on the weekend?
Multiple choice?
I forgot to put multiple choice in there, but I'll give you two either side of your...
Combined Wallabies and the All Blacks.
Yep.
I would say there was, give or take, there were 17.
Holy. You're on the button.
Actual?
It's 17.
Mate.
On the button. Mate. Welcome back.
I know my work. That's what I'm here for.
What does that transfer to as a percentage? Do you know?
I think it's 40% on the Wallaby side. Is that right?
My calculation is about 37%. 17 players out of the 46. 37. Rough, give or take. Mate. Did the calculations last night. But anyway.
None of them were Tongan.
None of them. No, in the All Blacks, there were plenty of Tongans there. I'm going to read out four players that have represented Fiji. You need to tell me which player isn't in the current Fijian squad.
Okay.
Mesulame Dolokoto, Jone Koroenduendua, Vilimone Della Sal, or Celestino Ravutamanda. Which one is not in the current Fijian team?
Celestino. Talk to me.
It's not in the current Fijian squad.
In the team that's... Are you sure?
Well, you're wrong. I'm just going to say because he's the main guy.
Yeah, but he might still be with his French team or his English team.
No, he plays for the Drua. So you're obviously not up to date on our rugby union news. Mate, you need to pull your head in.
Oh, mate, I can't keep up with these Fijian. They get signed left, right and centre from all the big clubs over there.
It was Vilimoni Della Sal. He played for the Fiji back in 2007. Absolute legend, 82 tries in a season for Fiji in 7th Circuit. But that's our time up for today, Toops. That is our time up. Remember, you can catch up on all our chats with athletes like Lihai Hopawate, Faitala Moleka, and plenty more wherever you get your podcasts. Ka kite.
Ka kite. I was just rattled. I was like,
he's rattled.
I'm trying to think, I'm like, does he actually play for them still?
Far out.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.